סדר הקדימה. מסתכל טוב עם הדרכות הצדקה. Daka, you're supposed to give tzedakah to the poor. Now, what's the order? Who do you give first? Who do you give second? Who do you give third? Chova leakdim korovei mishpacha leaniim acherim vekarov korov kodem kidelehalan. You're obligated first to give to your family relative, your relatives, family relatives. Then, the closer they are to you, the more they come. They come first. That's the order. And we'll see right now the order. First of all, if I'm the tira, hello. Close the door, close the door. Sarah. Okay? So first, the person has to support his. Number one on the list is his parents. First is his parents. First, he has to support his parents. It's number one on the list. Okay? If he has to give tzedakah, the first people he has to give tzedakah to is his parents. They come first on the list. I call him a delet.
No.
Shkoyach. Okay. Yeah. His parents come before his own children. If his own children need tzedakah and his parents need tzedakah, he first gives his parents and he gives his own children.
Did they explain why, or
did
they just say
Kibud Avim?
Kibud Avim,
what?
I want to make sure
everybody knows. Okay. You have to find a way to give it to your parents without them being embarrassed. All kinds of ways to do it, I'm telling you, all kinds of ways. Okay? All the ways to give your parents, that they know, you give them a tanot, you know they need a washing machine. I want to buy a gift for your birthday, and it's considered tzedakah, you can buy it with your tzedakah money. You know they need a mezuzah for the house, they fail, it's not kosher, they don't have money to buy a new one. I want to give you a gift. And it's considered tzedakah, you can use tzedakah money for that. Okay. Shav. The point of halacha, listen carefully. Anoten mikaspo lebanav nirutav agdolim migishesh. One who gives from his money to his children, one who gives his money to his children, boys and girls, which are above age 6, right? The boys, so they can continue learning Torah and everything they need. And the girls also, if they go to a certain school so they become, they grow in the right way. It's mitzvah tzedakah.
It's what?
It's mitzvah tzedakah. You're not obligated to support your kids over 6 years old. You're not obligated. The Gemara says in Ksubas that you're based in forces a person to give money to his children when they're under 6. Over 6, it's ra'ui, but Beis Din does not force him to do it. Okay? So it's considered tzedakah. You want to give your maestro, bakasha, you're not obligated. It's not something you're obligated to do. So you can give your maestro over there. Okay? What a lenience. You know how much tzedakah I do? Chaval hazman. I spend thousands of shekels every month in tzedakah. I do a lot more than maestro. I give 80% of tzedakah.
See how much Hashem loves us that he gave us a mitzvah he knows we're going to do anyway, so right. He made it an extra mitzvah.
Ratzah HaKadosh Baruch Hu l'zakot Yisrael. Chaval al hazman. Of course, if they're over 13, of course it's a mitzvah tzedakah. It's 12 or 13. Vadai, vadai. Even over 6. Okay. Yofi. Achim min ha'av kodmim l'nitniyat tzedakah l'achim na'em v'adim b'achayot ben banim bnei banim. Okay, it's fine. If you have your parents are good, or you have enough money to give them, and you have siblings which need help, they need tzedakah. So if you have siblings from your father's side, they come before siblings from your mother's side. Siblings from your father's side come before siblings from your mother's side. Brother or sister. Okay? From the father's side, they're more karovim than the mother's side. By the mother, we go by the mother just for if you're Jewish or not. But for Yichus, we go by the father. So that's why the sibling from the father is closer to you than
it.
Yichud?
Yeah.
No, Mapit.
Mapit.
But regarding Kirva.
What if the ones from your father's side aren't Jewish? And the ones from your mother's side are Jewish?
So you don't have from your father's side any brothers. I mean, you could treat them very nicely as human beings. And if you grew up with them, so it's fine. There's all kinds of situations like that, huh? Mm-hmm. That's so... Bnei banim ke banim v'kodmim apiu la'achim. Grandchildren, like your own children, and they come before brothers. We set the orders like this. Parents, children, over age of 6. Under 6 is before parents, or anything, because you have to get them. But in tzedakah, it's parents, then your own children, right? Then your grandchildren, yeah? Grandchildren from your sons, okay? And then the brothers from the father's side, and the brothers and sisters from the mother's side. Brothers and sisters from the father's side, and the, it's complicated, huh? Should I say the order again? From, if it's from your daughters, machloket apoiskim, who comes first? If they come before the before your brothers, or together with your brothers, same level. Okay. So the Pitre Tshuva brings down that your relatives. What we're talking about is your relatives, not your wife's relatives. Your wife's relatives, they have their own brothers to take care of. It used to be in the time of Chazal, who used to work, who used to bring the money? Only the men. So he says where to put the money, what to do. It could be things different when you have a wife working, she brings all the money. She wants not to help her siblings. They need help, they don't know. Could be the Shonels, maybe they also have Dinab Kovim, I don't know. I would assume that yes. Also from the mother, from the wife's side, they have Dinab Kovim. Okay. If grandchildren want to support the grandparents, and also the parents themselves, their father also needs panasa, the parents. The father comes before the grandparents. Even though a person obligated doraita to be mechabed his grandparents, but still he has a bigger mitzvah to mechabed first his own parents, and only then to the grandparents. Okay.
So that your father can get his parents.
What is that?
If you give it to your father, then he can help his parents.
Yeah, if you give him enough. Also, if you give him enough, if you give... Okay. Relatives always come before other poor people of the city. Even if the other people are very, very poor, and his relatives are not so poor. Right? Even though he's first obligated to give his relatives, and only then give any other in need. Aniyei iro kodmim leaniyei iro acheret zot bebida vina shuvim baniyut. The poor people of their own city, they come before the poor people of a different city, as long as the level of poverty that they're in are the same. If the other city, they're more poor than your city, you give the other city.
If you live
what?
We live in one of the poorest cities.
Yerushalayim?
Yeah.
Yerushalayim and Nebuchadnezzar, I think, no? It's the two poorest cities.
Beitar is one of the poorest Jewish cities in the country.
Beitar? Beitar, he said.
Relatives who are in a different city than you are.
Relatives come first.
They come first anyhow.
First relatives. I mean, okay. People have to know this. It's a very important halacha. People don't know. I spoke to people. Yeah, I give it to the Vaad here. And I said, what do you mean? You have a brother who's needy. You're assault to give to that person. You have to give to your brother. Mm-hmm. It's very important to know this. It's a halacha that you have to know.
Family is hard to give to sometimes.
You have to find a way.
That
hard from the receiver or from the giver? From the receiver more than from the giver.
Yeah, you don't like to, you know.
That includes Meister also?
Meister, yeah. Give Meister.
Meister counts.
My brother's giving Meister to pay for my
door. Yeah. My brother also calls me, says he's giving Meister. Why not? I also give them. Today, everyone is considered an Avrech, and also not. But of course, one is considered an Avrech. For sure, he's considered an Ani, like we saw that. Right? From what they give you in Kotel, you cannot live a. You're very mitzumtzam, and you wish you hope you're not in debt, and you hope that they don't close the electricity every other month. And it's not easy, but it's worth it. Sitting and learning Torah, it's worth it. By the way, I saw in the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, maybe he brings it down later. Ah, here, he brings it down later. I didn't say the whole thing here. I saw in the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, he says, if someone doesn't need tzedakah and he goes collecting tzedakah, Muftach lo, he's promised that he won't leave this world without being needing tzedakah. And if someone needs tzedakah and he does not go and get the tzedakah, he's promised from Shammai that he won't leave this world without supporting others. And there's a story also, I forgot, one of the tzaddikim in Yerushalayim here, 100 years or less, 70 years ago, that his son-in-law was getting married and he mamash needed money after the wedding to start the life. He had nothing. And his father-in-law said, listen, I have an amount of money here. I can give you, you can take it right now, here, take. But I'm telling you, don't take. So why not? Get used to not taking. And you'll see bracha and everything. Don't take. If you're able not to, if you have the koyach and still live a b'sedah, better not to. But he didn't take. It's a darga, yeah, it's a darga. I'm not saying people need to listen.
Yeah, what happened?
He lived. He still lives a life. As long as his wife is happy. If your wife's not happy, take from everywhere you can. Rav Avraham Shalom told me once, but how do you know? Rav Dessler says, he brings down how does a person know how much to work, how much to believe in Hashem, how much yishtadlus to do, how much trust in Hashem? So he says it depends on the level of trust that you're at. So you have to do less yishtadlus. If you have a high trust in Hashem, how do you know? Fine. How do I know? What's my parameter? How am I supposed to know? How choked up should I be before I start doing more yishtadlus? Working an extra hour looking for another job. How much? So Harosh told me, I asked him, he said to me, if the wife is happy, you can continue on with the bitachon Hashem. If she's not happy, go work. That's your parameter. That's how you know. That's your madad. If she's happy, even though you don't have so much, and sometimes it's lacking in the house, this and that, and you don't have 100%, it's fine, she's with you, bitachon, go to yeshiva, Hashem will have yeshua, for sure Hashem will help us. She's happy with it? Beautiful, continue with your work, continue with your ability to do it, continue with everything, and live where you live. If she's not happy, go find a job. And in the meantime, continue screaming in the field that you want to go back to yeshiva or whatever, but you can't... Don't be a tzaddik on someone else's expense. That's the main idea. So, Magdimim isha leish benem zanot ben iksut. Okay? You proceed giving tzedakah first if there's a poor lady in your neighborhood. By the way, it goes like this, by the way. It's not only the city. It's your building, your neighbors, your close neighbors, the buildings around you, your neighborhood. Then the neighbors around, maybe then already goes to the city. Okay? It goes like that.
Physical,
yeah.
Physical.
Yeah. After you finish with relatives, it goes by physical. Okay? Eretz Yisrael, then Chutz La'aretz. Okay? We'll see soon that not 100% because people in Chutz La'aretz. See in a second. But anyways, if you have a woman, you have two people in your building which are needy. One is a woman who's living there alone and that she needs. Okay? She needs clothing, she needs whatever she needs, food, electricity, whatever it is. And you have also a man who needs, you first give the woman. If you have enough just for the woman, you only the woman, you don't give the man. Why? Because a woman will not go collecting, a woman will not go, she's more embarrassed, she has less opportunities to do things. A man has more opportunity usually. So a woman comes before a man.
I hope that the reason is because that we are afraid that she's not will not go Chas V'Shalom to...
Ah,
there's not? Yeah. Uh-huh. So, that's what I wrote. Not, I mean, according to the original, the man was supposed to be first, but because
that we are afraid that the woman will go to Chas V'Shalom, so we are giving her over there. That's what I
have heard.
What are you saying? Is it right?
No, it sounds it makes sense. Where did you hear that from? Somewhere a source? A rab, someone said?
Yeah, it's just
he doesn't bring here why.
I just saw it somewhere.
No, he brings down dafka what I said. But it could be also the shach brings down that a man could go if he needs to collect money and a woman will not go. So another reason.
I'm just changing.
Yeah, unfortunately. But still, you see more men collecting than women.
No, I meant to see more women going to.
Ah, Shema Achem. So,
yeah,
also, if you have they come to you, they say there's an orphan. Orphan, they're also male and also female?
Yeah.
If you see a boy orphan who's getting married, or a girl orphan, a girl, a kala who's an orphan, you give the kala first, and then you'll give a chasan. Because the chasan, as we know, not even orphans, whatever. Many of my friends, they go and they collect for their wedding. They don't have, the parents don't have them. The parents go collect, they go collect. And they make a wedding. That's what they do. I think it's a beautiful thing also. It's all Am Yisrael is joining weddings and all everyone's giving and everyone's, it's a nice thing.
I was in the Shtibuch once and they were like collecting for a wedding and the guy was singing, like, I have tzolos. I was like, what service do you have? You're making a wedding. Like, you have a simcha. You need all of Am Yisrael to
join the simcha.
You need everyone to shtatek, but you don't have service. You're making a wedding. And he told me, he's like, okay, that's for one study.
Well, he meant he has co-wives.
Huh?
He meant he has co-wives.
Co-wives?
Sorbets.
So you're into your Am Yisrael. Tzadik Dalet, today was Tzadik Dalet.
Huh? There's four wives. That's source. More wives equals
source. Sorrow comes from source. If someone said, support my, take my money and give support the children of my brother, and there's enough to give either the boy or the girl, you give again the girl first before the boy. So like we said, the first the neighbors, like we said, yeah, first Eretz Yisrael, like we said, first Chutzla, and then afterwards Chutzla. So yeah, like the order that we said, good. Oh, listen to this. Talmid Chacham Kodem Lekulam. Mikol makom, and then the greater he is, comes before the Talmid Chacham, which is smaller than him. Mikol makom, avivu imo kodim afilu mi shegadol mehem, except his parents. The parents come first, but then a Talmid Chacham, then the other relatives. Why did he say at the end?
כמו במשנה.
רגע, עבידת רבו זה דביף. את זה מנועד.
תלמוד תורה.
תלמוד תורה כנגד כולם.
חשוב למעלה.
Right, someone who's learning Torah is holding the world. It could be that the person thinks you should never be haughty supporting someone who's learning Torah. Because it could be that the only reason you have any money בכלל so you can support someone learning Torah. And he's holding the whole world. He's holding you. He's making you exist בכלל.
Negate what came before.
Now what?
That first you give to your father and then to your children and then.
And Talmid Chacham is in between.
Maybe he means that, like we said, if it's a boy or a girl, then you give to the girl first. But if what, you have two brothers and one is a Talmid Chacham, then you give to him that one first.
Within your saying?
Maybe it's a. Maybe.
So why is he saying then the.
That's why it doesn't go at the beginning. Otherwise, you say between it.
But again, I think because you wanted to emphasize the Malat and Chacham after he buried the order,
you never give to your children, because there's always a Talmud
Chacham
who's smarter than
you. You can never give to anybody, because you always find a Talmud Chacham who needs.
Yeah.
So right, that doesn't
somebody
make sense,
asks,
right?
You're like, wait a minute, let me go find a yeshiva. Oh, there's a Talmud Chacham. You can never, how can you ever allow to give to anybody else?
How could you give
then?
To a neighbor? How could you give to a neighbor if he's not a Talmud Chacham yet?
You have different someone else's Talmud Chacham?
There's always
a Talmud Chacham.
Maybe it means only if someone approaches you.
Mm-hmm. Is that it?
The reason
two people, two people approach you, and then you will go. Not that you have to go now looking.
That makes more sense.
Why? Because you can't check every person who's coming to you on the street or something.
Start to them. I have a friend who's a huge shanchach, huge. Told us about mitzvah over here. And he's like a darshan. And he went recently twice to America. He was collecting money for his daughter's wedding. I said, what do you do? He says, oh, they know me. I come, I give a drasha, and they give me a lot of money afterwards. He started chacham. He was a real David chacham. You know, the mind, the whole zohar, everything. He gives shiurim a lot.
What you said about that split before, Robert told a story in Shir that there was the shamash of Rav Lebovich. The Shamash of Rav Lubavitch met, I think, Chacham Avraham Chai. And Chacham Avraham Chai gave the Shamash of Rav Lubavitch that gave him a bracha that he should become very wealthy. And he saw him like a couple years later. So he's looking at him and he's like, you're probably wondering what's with my bracha, right? Why didn't you become wealthy? He said, I'll tell you, because there's somebody who supports you. And he is so much schus from supporting you, because you used to be a server of Lebovich. This guy who supports you has so much schus from supporting you that Hashem doesn't want to take that schus away from you, from him, so he's not giving you money.
Some people don't want that schus, forget it. Afterwards. I think if someone comes, I think it's referring to someone, if someone comes over. Two cases, some can't come to your door, two cases come to you, and one is this and one is that, so first you give them a chacham before anyone else.
They come together?
Yeah, you get
then you're embarrassing.
No, but it could also be throughout the month. You know, you hear of one person in your building, you hear of another person in your building, and then you get your paycheck at the end of the month, and
you decide to give
it.
Like
it doesn't need to be that, you know, an orphan and a Talmud Chacham.
Otherwise, you're right. It doesn't make sense.
You're right.
It's the only way I can understand it. So,
or two things come in the mail.
Yeah, we do, because we send the phone calls we don't give.
Yeah.
If they want, they can come to me.
Same thing with mail, you know, unless it's a personal letter.
Can you say that again? You said for phone call, what?
You said don't give your credit card on the phone call, on the phone. Tell them you want money, come to my house, I'll give you money.
So when you get phone calls from people who didn't pledge?
It could be false. It could be forged.
Right.
Not real.
Did they send something in the mail or something like that?
Yeah, show me who you are, where are you, what are you?
Normally we do bulk mailings and we get the names from synagogue lists.
צדקה עבור הצלת נפשות קודמת לכל נתינת אחרת ובכלל זה פדיון שבויים זוכר רפואה לחולש בשקנה יש שאלות על פתוח את כל הפתיון הזכיר the highest צדקה like now you have two things you have a wedding you have someone who's dying and needs now to go to חוץ לארץ for operation or the money for the actual operation or someone or taking Jewish girls out of where they are over there Pidyon Shavuim. Ken, Navan. That's the organization now, right? Adachim. Yeah, all these. They come before. That's the first zaka you should give. First, Atzalat Nefashot. Yeah? Atzalat Nefashot. And he writes at the end. And spiritual Atzalat Nefashot is included. It's included also. Spiritual Atzalat Nefashot. Right? So you have Maaser money. You buy books. Garden of Emunah. What?
It's like Pidyon Shavuim.
Yeah, mamash Pidyon Shavuim. It's bigger than saving their lives.
Yeah.
It's saving their soul. So it's higher to do it like the Rav Arush always says. Tzedakah for hafatza is higher than any other tzedakah.
Would that be then like, let's say like, you know, a community needs money for a school or a base mesh and be the only one in the community. They don't have it. They won't have anything to speak Hebrew.
Sounds like people. If that, that's the place we're going to have shiurim, we'll have a rab, we'll have supporting the rab that can give shiurim, whatever. Yeah, it's about the pashat, definitely.
The Rav Arush wanted to say that like you're allowed to do hafatzah on Shabbos and carry the books around and all this stuff on Shabbat because that's lenda pashat.
That's kohenus. Well, you can't go around with a gun. You might go there. You can't go around with a doctor with his things. You got to go around.
They don't want to say the psak because there's already enough machlokes on him. But he said, really, it's like lenda pashat. You can do everything.
CDs, Margaliot.
Yeah.
The Chorah, even though you don't pass in this, you should go around and shop with the books and everything.
Some of the books you could do, books aren't.
Not books.
Read the books. CDs you can't. The books are good. You can't use the CD on
Shabbos. Right. Mukhtar Mahmoud
said before. You're saying, it's like, I don't know for
sure. And that's the last halakha. The last halakha is saving someone spiritual is the highest. Saving someone spiritual is the highest. That's the last halakha.
Where does long go?
Pidyon Shvuyim is part of Pikuach Nefesh.
Yeah.
But spiritual Pidyon Shvuyim is higher than
Where does loans come in?
What?
Loans
is not it's not a tzedakah.
But I thought it's a form of tzedakah.
Right, but it's not like tzedakah, like meister money and stuff
right,
like that.
Right, it's not a mitzvah, like obligated to do it, but it's
The highest word tzedakah is the kolam atil malai b'kiso shetam chacham. Someone takes money and makes money out of it for Tariq Chacham, he invests it.
Right, and helps people and
right.
Gives them jobs.
Right, that's the highest. But it's better than giving someone tzedakah. But someone who's sitting and learning Torah, mazel. People knew the zchut. I have a relative that wants to sit and learn, that's all he wants to do. And he's a big time Chacham, and he's a real masmid, I know for a fact. And his father in law, he really wants him to get out and go work. As far as I was rich. I don't want to support you all the time. I want you to go work. If you just would have known what he's gaining from his son-in-law sitting and learning. You just would have known. What, you're lacking anything? You don't have. You have, why not to give? Right. My father, he gave me when he feeling homage, didn't have anything. He used to give me, could take for half the rent, take this, take that. Sitting and learning. Mazes, the highest thing in the world that person could do. The highest thing.
Ben Ish Chai, he had five brothers. Each one had a business. And he valued what some the younger brother was, and they each gave Maaseo.
He was the youngest?
He was the youngest, or second youngest. Anyhow, the other five brothers had businesses. And when they gave Maaseo of their income, and when they started doing that, the businesses went doubling and tripling and so on. That's why he lived so well. His life, his brothers who had a big problem, that's the way they were giving him.
That's the veg. That's the way. Amash. Don't forget that whenever you, when you give, you're giving only to yourself. Here I said the story, right?
It was.
With right? I said the story.
Depends which story.
With the snow and the
yellow snow.
Okay. That was a nice story. You want to hear a nice story?
Yes.
Okay. A person, whatever he does to himself. Mm-hmm. It's a story. It's a true story. Chaim Walder brings that one in the book. He says there was a true story in America. There were three friends in the yeshiva many years ago in New York. And they were learning yeshiva and they were best friends. I'm not the best friends. And then one day one of them was going to get married and the wedding was going to take place in Canada. That's where the car was from, that's where the wedding. And this guy was an orphan. His father died before he was born. His mother died at birth. He grew up by his uncles and aunts. Show me around a little bit. They called him Binyamin because his mother died at birth. Mm-hmm. And he told him, guys, I wish you guys could come to my wedding. I wish I had money to give you to come to my to plane ticket that you'd be able to get there. But I don't have, so I wish. And he went to his wedding. These two boys decided, he really wants to, we're going to try to get there. But also, we don't have money. We don't have money to go. So, but We have enough money to, for gas. So we'll rent a car from a friend. It's cheaper, at least then, to drive. We'll drive to Canada. We'll be at the wedding. And we'll come back. So it's a long drive. What is it? 8 hours to Toronto from New York? Oh, there's a bus that goes every day. A Jewish bus from a Jewish neighborhood. One of the Jewish neighbors over there. Anyways, so we decided to set up. So they decided they're going to do that. They found an avrech who's willing to give them the car for some money. And they started the journey, but the avrech told them, listen to me, I need 2 days after the wedding, you're here with the car. I need the car. It's Friday. Thursday, something, they had to be there. Mm-hmm. So they left, and they got there, and they were so surprised to see the friends there, and the simcha was mamash ad hashamayim, and everything was so beautiful. And he told them, listen, I wish maybe you could guys stay till the end of Shabbat, because I don't have siblings, I don't have anyone, I don't have parents. Please stay with me today. They told him, we wish we could, but we promised the guy, and he mamash, he was very machmir with us that we have to be back. He needs the car, it's tachuf. So we can. Fine. So they stayed one Shabbat Bachas like they could, wherever they could. And then they went on. Mm-hmm. And they realized on the highway that they're pretty much alone. There's no one around. There's hardly any cars. Not much there. It's a highway. Highway usually is full of cars. No, nothing. During the day. And there was a lot of clouds, but they didn't hear the forecast. And they didn't know what's going on. Mm. There was a snowstorm coming. A big, big snowstorm. Mm-mm. So suddenly they're driving and snow started coming down, heavy, heavy, heavy snow. And they said, fine, we'll try to get to the nearest town. We don't know if there's Jews around, but we can't do it like this. It's freezing here, the car, the heat's not there. It was going on full heat and then the gas is going down fast. Kitsu, balagan. Then they find they're slipping around, you know, it's cold and everything's slippery and icy. So finally they see a turn off. They don't know what it is, but it's a turn off somewhere. It's better than being in the middle of the road, you'll know it. So they turn off, they manage to come. Kitsu, it's a campus of a church. A monastery, a church, I don't know. It's a big campus. So better than nothing too, maybe. They knock on the door, they ring the bell, finally the guy opens the shomer. He says, you have to let us in. Jewish? Yeah. Shuts the door, and of course, antishemir dishma. So they knock on the door, get there, you crazy. On your conscience, you're going to kill two human beings. So you say, you're right, what am I going to do? You know, if they find out, I get fired. Yeah, just let us in. We're standing here. It's minus, who knows what. Get us in. Fine, we'll come into my little thing there. He tells me, you know what, there's a room here, there's a guy who died this morning and we can't bury him because of the storm.
Oh, good.
So, you read the story? Amazing story. You stay in the room with him, so they're like, okay. Fine, whatever Hashem wants. So he tells his chosen in the room, no one's going to check it out in that room. It's a dead body, it's a corpse. So, they stay there. Overnight, the dead body was on the side around like a little wall, so it wasn't so scary. They slept okay, cold. In the morning, they're ready to get to leave, and the shomer, the guard, helps them run the car again with the cables and everything. And then one of the friends tells the other, "We saw tefillin there, and there was no crosses in the room. We saw tefillin in the room." So they go back. They tell, "Could be the guy's Jewish." Could be, I don't know. He's dead, he lived with us here. He's dead. So they go, and they say, it makes sense that he's Jewish. There's no tzlamim, no, there's tefillin in the room, a Jewish name on it, kilo. It must be, who owns it? Only this guy owns it. Must be Jewish. So they wanted to take it to Meis Mitzvah, otherwise it would be good this time. So he went and asked the high priest there over there, and he told them, take it, it's easier for us. Yeah. So fine, they're rolling around the body and they're going to the back of the cop doesn't stop them. So they're continuing. It's Friday morning. They're trying to get to New York as fast as possible, but everything's icy and snowy today after the storm. The storm calmed down after the night. And they don't know what to do. It's getting late. Shabbos coming in at 5 o'clock. It's winter. Mami Yasu. So 2 hours before Shabbos, they decide they see a little name of a town which has a Jewish, small Jewish community in the way of New York, and they decide they're going in there. They hardly get there 40 minutes before Shkia, before Shabbos, the Lich Benching. They get into to the first row. They go a few houses down. They see a mezuzah. They knock on the door. Guy opens up. He says, "Listen." He tells them, "Listen, tell the story. We have a body in the car. He's a Jewish guy. We have it's a freaky story, huh?" I told this to my wife. She was laughing for an hour. It's a funny situation. I have a body in the car. I wouldn't do. Anyway, so he says, "You know, they found the right guy. I'm the Chevra Kadisha guy, and I'm telling you that there's no more plots in this cemetery." So I tell him, "Listen, we can't leave the body in the car. We got to do something." So then he says, "You know what? No, there was a guy who lived with us. I don't know where. There was a guy who lived here. Mm-hmm. He donated four plots or something.
For
Met Mitzvah, people are galmud and not know what to pay for them and all this. And three were taken and one is empty. Left. So we could bury him. It's fine, good, very good." Then he tells him, "You know, we also have a bag of tefillin here. I don't know. Do it because you're muri. I don't know." So he looks at it and he sees the names. It was the guy who donated all the four graves.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And the last part was yours. So we learn from here, a person, he gives tzedakah, he's giving for himself. You know, you're not giving to others, you're giving to yourself always. It's worth it to try to give as much as we can.
Something
so you read this.
I know, for years, yeah. All kinds of versions of it.
Yeah, so I read it.
Yeah, but that's the basic thing. That's the basic story, yeah. There was, in Bnei Brak years ago, I lived there, there was a shtibel, the guy was collecting money. He had this plastic milk bag washed up. He was collecting money with it. And he says, "Where's my money? Where's my money? Where's my money?" And he goes, "People put a coin in. Now it's your money."
What is it? It's your money.
After when he's going, "Where's my money?" When the person puts his money, puts money into the bag, says, "Now that's your money."
Yeah,
you gave him what's stuck on. Now it's yours.
Now that's what's left. That's what's left. if you buy a falafel and eat it, nothing's left.
Yeah.
But if you give someone a shekel, that's what you have left. That's so I always tell people that Tzomet, Nafatza, I always tell people, I have a question, he doesn't want to give tzedakah. I have a question for you. If you have 10 shekels and it costs 9 shekels to buy a falafel and you give 1 shekel for tzedakah, how much you have left? He says nothing. He says, "No, you have 1 shekel left." What do you mean? Tzedakah, what do you have left? Anyways, stop making stories.
His instructions before his passing was that all he had kept kabbalot of all the tzedakah he gave for years.
Bury it with him or
something. Bury the kabbalot with me.
I'm sorry, who is this?
Rav Mordechai Sharavi. Okay. Asked to be buried with the kabbalot of tzedakah that he gave.
The receipts.
Okay.
Because it's the only thing you could take with him.
Yeah.
Okay. Bricky Sean.